Today's program is brought to you by Whole Foods Market. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
I'm Erica Wise, host of Let's Get Real, the cooking show about finding, preparing, and eating food. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
I spent 14 years in 95 cities around about people who were less than human. My mission at that time was to become more than human.
Shawty, hey, little ho, fall back. I pull up with my posse, hey, dressed in all black. Pump action, shawty, hey, little ho, fall back. I pull up with my posse, hey, dressed in all black. I'm feeling like Marilyn Manson, selling these bricks out of mansion. Rap game, Glenn Danzig, holding your hoe for ransom. Young black punk. I'm feeling like I'm in rancid. They like young flex, you too sick. I'm feeling like I got cancer, ay, ay. Why me pull up on my bro? Pull up, I how about I mack on your hoe? If you got problems, you're totally gon' blow. Blowing your brains out all over the flow. Kicking your teeth in your head. Didn't you hear what I said? I told you be cautious, so I'ma off you, ay. Look at you, honey, you're dead, ay.
I don't want your hoe, she gookin', ay. I'm ballin', but I am not hoopin', ay. And if you got problems, I pull out that chopper and blast you away like Hadouken, ay. I'm on top and I'm kicking the roof, and ay. Way ahead of you, let's not be foolin'. Why me pull up on my bros and I'm foolin' like Candy Manny? I'm strapped with the toolie, ayy. My new chick looking like Kylie, ayy. Diamonds all up in my bright light, ayy. All these Hispanic shits on me, ayy. Call me Coyote, no Wiley, ayy. I will not make her my wifey, ayy. That would be getting too pricey, ayy. Young pussy getting too hypey, ayy. Young pussy getting too hypey, ayy. I got the juice like some high C, ayy. I got the juice like some high C, ayy. Young pussy getting too hypey, ayy. Young pussy getting too hypey, ayy. I got the juice like some high C. I got the juice like some high C, ayy. Young pussy getting too hypey, ayy. Young pussy getting too hypey.
Wow.
All right, welcome to Snacky Tunes. I'm one half your host, Greg Bresnitz. Darren, you there?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Calling in from the West Coast, Darren Bresnitz. The other half... Yeah, we're going to have to work on this. This is like new territory for us. That was just False Prophet, who will be live in studio later today. Big shout out to Phil from Momo for hooking us up. But first up, we got
Thank
Matt.
Thank you, Phil.
Robard. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Who we know from Food Republic, but now freelance journalism extraordinaire.
Yeah.
Where are you writing these days?
I mean, I'm writing for a bunch of people, you know, Lucky Peach, Wall Street Journal, Bon App, whoever will pay.
Oh. Whoever will take the most interesting story, right?
And whoever will not pay but has like a bunch of Facebook followers, I'll do some Facebook posts too.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
Just shout out to anyone who wants a Facebook post. I can do that.
What's a Facebook
post?
Just like
I'm a Facebook post guy for hire. Like I'll do a post for free if they have a lot of followers.
Oh, okay.
Interesting.
Yeah,
it's a new model.
Yeah, wait.
It's new media.
Can you give an example?
You know, one example is, say, like, BuzzFeed has, like, 18 million followers. I would say, buy Koreatown a cookbook on their Facebook page,
It
would be for free, but it would be very self-promotional. That's
Got
what
it.
I'm saying.
Excellent segue. Matt is actually here not to tell us how the new model of food journalism is working, but he has put together with Dookie Hong a beautiful, beautiful cookbook called Koreatown.
Awesome, great.
It really is... It's stunning. I mean, we're going to get to all of it, but I just want to say it's a beautiful cookbook. It looks really good. What is the genesis for this? I mean, why a cookbook in 2016?
Right. Why a cookbook? I mean, cookbooks, there are a lot of them. If you go to Barnes & Noble, there's like 17,000 of them on the shelves. And, you know, why a cookbook? Dookie Hong, my co-author, who's not here today, unfortunately, he's sleeping because he had to work a long shift at Baekjeong.
Okay.
Restaurant. But this book was needed because Korean food really needed to be brought to the modern reader. You know, a lot of times there's been many cookbooks written about Korean food, but in the past they've been kind of sleepier tomes written by food professors or YouTube stars, and they were very instructional and very educational, but they didn't have the energy of Koreatown, because you guys, I'm sure, have been to Koreatown.
I mean, I'm work right around the corner. Yeah.
Yeah, Darren, I mean, you're in L.A.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I always know when you're in town, because my feed on Instagram is just like the best looking raw, like banchan meats, get ready. I was like, oh, Matt's in L.A. But I mean, you know, I think my first experience in L.A. in Koreatown was Park Barbecue, which is sort of like the most popular one. But, you know, why has Korean food taken so long to get in sort of the mainstream, you know, compared to Chinese food and Japanese food? And like, I feel like even now, like, it's in the mainstream and it's surpassing it. What do you think about
that? It's a good question. You know, Korean food has generally been done with a for us bias kind of mentality. These restaurants with all this delicious food have not marketed themselves very well, like Thai restaurants and Chinese restaurants. So for years and years, you've walked into these restaurants and it's been killer food, but there's been no English on the menu, or there hasn't been much of an explanation of all these soups. And in Koreatown, we don't just focus on barbecue. We're going deep into the magical soup canon of Korean food culture. And you mentioned Parks, which is great. Our cover actually was shot at Parks.
Oh, wow.
All the banchan on our cover, we went in. We know the owner, Jenny. She's really cool, and she just let us shoot a bunch of her food, and it ended up on the cover.
I mean, so I just want to go take one quick step back. For you and your partner, like, how did you kind of come to this? Like, you know, I mean, and of course, that's the reason why it hasn't, but, like, how did you convince him? How did you feel, you know, like, this is, like, it was time to do this?
It was,
was it a late night of soju, and you're like, oh, we gotta write a book, man.
Dude, hugging it out as Koreans are known to do. No, Dookie and I knew each other. We were part of this guidebook project where we went and ate at, like, I went to 78 Korean restaurants. You remember that? Yeah, I think you went out to a bunch of them.
Yeah, I went to Momo, the one in the East Village.
Oh, yeah, that record.
Mano and Mano.
Well, I went to 78 of these restaurants and had to kind of judge them anonymously, like a Michelin inspector. Dookie as well had to do that. We were both hired, and I met him at the kind of big meeting we did to decide on the top 30 Korean restaurants. And at the end of that meeting, we did go out for a few soju bombs, and we were like, okay, what's next? And we'd all like been so deep into Korean food in New York. And I just loved the way Dookie thought about food. You know, he's a chef and at a really great restaurant called Ganghodong Baekjeong in New York, but he's also kind of this food scholar. He really is into Korean food in a way that's unique. So we came together to write the project and to test the recipes in his kitchen, and it's worked out well.
So getting into the cuisine itself, you know, when you get an Italian cookbook, you know, that's like minimum like four ingredients you most likely have it. Kind of getting into like, you know, a different regional cuisine that has like so many ingredients. Well, what is maybe your first recommendation to people who've never cooked Korean before? Like, where do you start?
Oh,
what's
yeah.
the entry point?
The entry point is, you know, turning on the stove and making some, we'll get there in like 45 minutes. No, really, it's making some anchovy stock, and it sounds kind of crazy, and it will make your house smell like an aquarium store. But it is what the foundation of cooking Korean food is, anchovy stock. You make some anchovy stock, and then you can build out from that. You can build all the stocks, the soups, the marinades. But also, another thing that a great place to start is with the jangs. And you've heard of gochujang, I'm sure, in the food media. It's been written about all the time and time and again. And that's a fermented bean paste that has a bunch of peppers thrown into it, dried pepper flakes. And that's one of the fundamental ingredients for cooking with Korean food. So I would say go to your Asian market, buy some gochujang, buy some dried anchovies, make some stock, and you can cook your way through this book.
Yeah, one of the things in the book is how to cook Korean food without upsetting your neighbors. So, like, what are some tips for the people who might not be used to the smells and the aroma of the Korean food?
Well, I think you've got to take a little bit of a lead from your local weed dealer and buy a bunch of turkey bags, large freezer bags, and double bag all your jangs, double bag your kimchi. That's really important. But really, it's controlling the smoke. You know, this food is really smoky, and it's all about keeping a well-ventilated house, even if it's a small Brooklyn apartment like myself, and I've, you know, smoked it out a few times with Korean food. But always, you know, in Korea, they have this thing where Koreans will buy kimchi refrigerators, a separate refrigerator for keeping fermented foods. You know, where we don't really have that. We don't have space for two refrigerators, so I would say just wrap up your food. That's key.
So, you know, a lot of times when people start cooking a whole new type of cuisine, they look at, like, their spice shelf and their ingredients and realize that they don't have any of the base stuff. What's it going to cost? Mm. Like, how much do you – what's, like, the basics you need to start having your own Korean kitchen at home?
So it's really interesting. I've mentioned the jangs, gochujang and tenjang. Those are about $5 a crack. But when you talk about cooking with Korean food, you're talking about basic larder, your basic components, like ginger, scallions, garlic, sesame oil, seaweed, things that you're going to find in Chinese cooking and in Japanese cooking. There's not it's not like the Pok Pok cookbook, which is, I love that cookbook, but there's so many ingredients you have to like search out for raw ram and galangal and lemongrass and all this foreign stuff. I think with Korean larder, it's very limited. And you can shop through it, to answer your question. $30, go to your local H Mart, and you're going to be on your way to cooking Korean food.
Now, quick question. You mentioned kimchi. Did you guys make and bury your own kimchi, like, somewhere in Central Park?
We put it – yeah, it's in, like, Prospect Park. Like, it we'll be picking it up in March. No, we don't bury our kimchi. They do that still. I've witnessed it, and it's pretty crazy, and it is actually – it's a great way to ferment. But we have several kimchis in the book. Kimchi is actually – we can think of it as a verb more than a noun. It's actually – a technique of cooking. So what is well known is the baejuk kimchi, is the cabbage kimchi, but really we have all sorts of, we have garlic scape kimchi, we have pineapple kimchi actually, which is pretty ridiculous.
Is that traditional?
No, that's Dookie Hong right there. Okay, that's Dookie Hong's recipe. But you can really kimchi hard boiled eggs. You can do a lot of cool things with the technique.
Okay. Well, we're going to take a quick musical break. Then we're going to come back and talk about some of the guest chef recipes and some of the full squids and other thing that's going on. Right now we got a Right now we got a track from Big Ups, who were live in studio a few years back. And then we'll be back with Matt to talk more about Koreatown.
Thanks, man. We'll be right back.
Guide. Welcome back to Snacky Tunes. I want to talk about getting guest chefs to write a recipe. Like, what is the process of, you know, reaching out to someone? Like, is it a dance? Is it like a call and favor? Like, how does that go?
A Korean dance?
It's a waltz. No, in our book, we call our guest recipe section Respect.
Yeah.
Because we weren't just looking for chefs who were putting kimchi on top of something, which is a lot of times how Korean food is represented in non-Korean restaurants. So we went to some of our friends in the community who were chef community who were doing really interesting things, who were actually fans of Korean food, which wasn't really hard to find. Most chefs are fans. So, like, for example, Sewer Brioza at State Bird Provisions in San Francisco has a great dish with yuba and kimchi and egg, and he serves that at State Bird Provision, but he also makes his own kimchi. And I remember going to his restaurant and having him take me up this rickety ladder to his, like, illegal kimchi lab, which I probably shouldn't even be talking about now, but that's just one of many. We have Sean Brock. We have Paul Key has a really cool grilled cheese with the triple cream from Kagura Creamery and green apples and nori and gochujang mayonnaise. Super cool. We have Danny Bowen has a bone broth called Solentang with smoked brisket and uni. And we just went out to our guys and just said, hey, like, how do you want to respect this cuisine? And you know, getting the recipes themselves is sometimes difficult because chefs aren't really down with the internet sometimes.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
No, we did the TV show. Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
But the result was just a document of a compilation of these cool recipes that are really pushing Korean food forward.
Yeah, and it's cool. I mean, like the Sean Brock one, which is definitely like his like take on the South, but definitely with Korean flavors. I mean, it's really like, and yeah, we have to also talk about the photos in this because they are absolutely stunning.
Well, thanks a lot. You know, we used two really great photographers, and I know you're familiar with both of them because they've been in the Brooklyn music and food scene for a long time, Sam Herrine and Gabby Porter.
Yeah.
Sam Herrine is the chief photographer, and Sam, Dookie, and I traveled around the country many times over just shooting photos in restaurants.
Yeah, I mean, when people get their hands on this, it really looks like, you know, they just got finished cooking. You can only see the steam in a lot of these, or they just got plated, and they're alive. They're not like it's not dull or anything, like so vibrant. Like, my mouth is legitimately watering going through this book.
We thought, what were you going to say on the phone?
I'm hungry just looking at the book.
Well, we kind of didn't want to do the thing where you shoot all your photos in a photo studio. You know, that's most cookbooks are done that way, where it's like 75 photos in 3 days and all the plates look similar or the same and you're 3 days and you're done. Well, we spent all of our money on travel and going to these restaurants and shooting with permission, sometimes without permission, but just trying to get the vibe. You know, really, it was touch and go at times. And, you know, in L.A., we had this crazy night where we had it was my birthday. At this Pocha Macha on Wilshire called DGM, and Sam was there, and his camera got sprayed with soju bombs, and we had this, you know, all the great food was lined up, and it really worked well for the book, and it brought some energy to it that you mentioned.
Yeah, I guess now that you're
I feel that it plays more into where, you know, sort of like the new media of, you know, food and photography, and how people learn about food. I feel it plays more to that, like, this speaks to me more and makes me want to get into this cuisine and then go have that experience than what it would be like in a studio.
Yeah, I don't want to be insulting to this, but this looks like, now that you say it, like an Instagram style of shooting where it's like, I mean, there's a lot of action in the background. Like, there's like people kind of there. I mean, but like in a really beautiful, like, staged way. It's like, oh, it's like I'm in the restaurant. Yeah. It looks like it's not shooting in like a bubble. I mean, no. It looks like it's part of the real community and like the real thing.
Yeah, Greg, it's so true. And we wanted rough edges. You know, we didn't bring any props because we didn't have any. We didn't want perfect. We wanted rough. We wanted like the real table that you find in a Korean restaurant. Wanted real like chopsticks that have been used a million times over and washed and used again and again. Like, that's what Korean food is, and it brings this energy to it. And really, it is a modern cookbook. We are very proud, Dookie, Sam, Gabby, and I, about what we've been able to put together here, which is a document about what it's like to eat in Koreatown in 2016. And I don't think it's going to change that much in the next 10 years, but it might in 10 years. It might do a new version. But I think that's the way cookbooks are going. You know, it's not all about the perfect. It's about the real. And Instagram is real.
So speaking about the modern Korean cuisine, you know, I mean, people know bibimbap, people know bulgogi, things like that. What dishes did you discover that one blew you away, that it may just stay just in Korean restaurants as like sort of like a personal favorite but not popular? And then what do you think the next like breakout dish is going to be?
For sure. Darren, you know, gamjatang is this dish that I love, and it doesn't roll off your tongue like bibimbap. It's called gamjatang. It's pork neck that have been stewed for hours, and it's in this stew with potatoes and black pepper and perilla leaves and perilla seeds. And the broth is a pork stock. It's not the kimchi flavor. It's not the sour or spicy that, you know, you're really usually familiar with and aware of when you're eating Korean soups. It's this very different style of soup. But I mean, I've taken chefs there and they've loved it. You're picking the pork meat off of the bone and you're dipping it sometimes in the side sauce of wasabi and soy sauce, and it's really delicious. So that's one. And the next big thing to break through, honestly, you know, solentang is bone broth, and bone broth has been at the kind of forefront for a while. I'm sure you had like 20 guests talk about bone broth.
We actually never brought anybody in to talk about bone broth.
Oh, no bone broth.
Yeah,
which
that trend kind of like missed us.
Oh, missed you. Well, yeah. I think solentang can be this next big thing, with bone broth being a big staple right now in food culture. But this is the really traditional Korean style of bone broth, and I love it.
Amazing. So I know that in addition to the cookbook, you also created a fun playlist to go around with the cookbook.
Yeah.
And you know, you have A$AP Ferg, CL, Black Mouse, Super Rainbow. Not exactly what I think of when I think of Korean food. So how did this music inspire you for your cookbook and for Koreatown?
Well, my friend David, who I've been following at Large Hearted Boy, you know, do you guys know that blog?
Oh, yeah.
He's awesome. Oh, yeah. And I've been following him since he started doing this thing, blog thing, for about 10 years. And I was fortunate enough to be able to do a book notes for him. And he asked me to compile some music that I was inspired by while writing it. So, you know, like CL is this kind of breakout K-pop star, and she's crossing over. She was in a group, Girls' Generation, and now she's 21, and she's crossing over. I think this guy, Keith Ape, have you heard of him before?
Yeah.
Darren? Keith Ape is kind of, he's this trap rapper from Seoul, and he did this remix. Itji Ma is this big hit that you've probably heard on, it's been on some indie hip-hop stations, and he did this remix with Waka Flocka Flame and A$AP Ferg, and he is dope. He's really cool, man, and I really like this guy, and I think there's more going on than the manufactured K-pop sound that you're hearing, and then the Psy sound, of course. I think Seoul's a really cool place for music, and you're going to find also a lot of like rock bands that are kind of eschewing that manufactured sound and vibe and playing and hopefully breaking over in the States.
Amazing. So just before we wrap up, I know that you have a couple events promoting the book happening up and down the East Coast, and then fingers crossed on the West Coast. So what do you got coming up in the next month or two?
Oh, yeah. So we're going to be in Philadelphia on Tuesday at Abe Fisher, which is Mike Solomonov's restaurant. And we got this cool event there. And then in 2 weeks, we'll be down in D.C. with Eric Bruner Yang.
Oh, he will be doing – Darren and I are hosting a series of panels at South by Southwest. And Eric and Alex Dupak will be doing one of the panels called The Real Cost of Food.
Yeah,
he's great.
It's so cool that you're hooking up with him. He's a rising star.
Yeah, met him this week.
Awesome.
He was in town this week cooking for the Beard House. Really nice guy.
He's super cool, and he has a place called Maketo, which is like a restaurant / retail outlet. And we're doing a big event there in a couple weeks, and then we're hopefully coming to the West Coast in April. And
perfect.
Good.
We'll be there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, where can people get the book, order online, hire you for Facebook posts?
Facebook posts? Definitely. Those are freebies, though. I'm not for hire. Those are free.
Yeah.
So KoreatownCookbook.com is our website, and it has a bunch of information, but you can order it on Amazon. And, you know, support indie and go to your local indie bookstore. Book Court in Brooklyn is a great place.
Perfect. Great. Well, we got one quick musical break, and then we got False Prophet live in studio up next.
Today's program is proudly brought to you by Whole Foods Market, America's healthiest grocery store with more than 400 locations throughout the United States. Download the Whole Foods Market app on your smartphone for recipes, sales, information, and digital coupons. Or visit WholeFoodsMarket.com to find a store closest to you.
All right, welcome back. Paul's Profit live in studio. Welcome to the show. You want to go around and introduce yourselves?
Yeah, I'm False Prophet, a.k.a. Hetty Negro.
I'm Siobhan Bledsoe. I'm a poet and essayist. I met him a couple years ago, but I guess we'll go into that later.
Yeah, so, yeah. We'll get to all of it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Go on.
I'm Poozie, a.k.a. government named Parker Black.
Let's start with the airport. So you guys met in an airport. What is the story behind that?
I knew Parker from, like, VCU for a while ago. And like
what's VCU?
Virginia Commonwealth University.
Just got to give reference for everybody who doesn't know.
Pain. Yeah,
yeah.
Sweet ass art program. You know, we like hit it off. And then I was like coming back from California on some like spiritual stint or whatever. And then I hear this dude like call my name out, and he's just like, "Yo, what's up, Warren?" And I'm like, "Whoa, it's Parker." And he was just like. Yeah,
like South Carolina or some shit.
Yeah, in South Carolina, both of our planes have been like delayed and shit, and like, you know, like he was just like, "Oh yeah, like I've been making music in Atlanta," and I was like, "Oh, I've been like really trying to make music like in New York, but nobody's really been trying to work with me." And then he was just like, "Yo, let's make music," and I was like, "Oh damn."
And what type of music were you making at the time?
In Atlanta, I had just gotten out of a hardcore band. So I was sort of like transitioning from like hardcore band music to like producing, basically.
Yeah.
So
I really wasn't making any music at all. I was just like, it's like just been like a kind of brainchild of like trying to just like finesse it out.
Was there a sound in your head or a particular sound, or was it lyrics, or what was existing at that time?
Yeah, it was like, I mean, it was like a lot of like, I knew, like, what I grew up on, which is, like, all, like, anime, you know, like a lot of, like, heady, like, black history shit, and, like, just, like, kind of, like, wanting to have an outlet for that, and, like, I mean, it was never, like, a sound. I mean, I had, like, influences, like, Death Grips and, like, Death and, like, a lot of, like, punk bands and hardcore vibes, but, like, really no outlet yet.
And you and Siobhan were in a punk band together, right?
That's true. It was called Mattress. So actually, I met Warren kind of unbelievable circumstances. 2 years ago, we were both accepted to this residency in Vermont, in like the middle of nowhere, like bucolic, like rural Vermont. There was one bar in town called Downtown where we actually had our first show.
Was it actually downtown? Was there a downtown?
The downtown was like, what would you say downtown was? There's like one pub and a bookstore.
The downtown was like a post office, a wing shop, and like a bar.
It was like a quarter of a mile strip.
So everything you need.
Yeah.
And I guess, like, I can extrapolate a little bit. Like, I was there as a poet in residence. He was doing installation art, like, a great visual artist. But we both were like, fuck this. I felt like I can't, like, create without stimuli. I'm coming from, like, this environment right here, going to the middle of nowhere in Vermont, like, trying to, like, write a book, you know? So we abandoned that, and we started this, like, punk band called Mattress.
Did you record? How long lived with it?
Yeah, we
did. Is it still existing?
It doesn't exist.
Okay. R.I.P. Mattress.
R.I.P. only because everyone scattered and dispersed because people came all over the world to the residency. So we had, like, you know, people in Edinburgh, people in London, people in Guatemala. It was just, like, crazy all over the place. So like
we're hitting like trap shit, like how to make like pies and like really like experimental, just like
trap
on. Yeah, a lot of like banging on shit.
It was super fun.
Nobody knew how to play instruments.
How many shows?
One.
Okay.
but to be fair, we were invited on the small like Vermont circuit locally.
That's
they were
fine.
Like, do you want to come play Stow Mountain Ski Resort? And we're like, I guess.
You got to leave them wanting more. So then from Mattress, where did False Prophet begin to evolve?
It's been like a thing. Like I've been trying to make like secretly like music forever, like blasting like social media, just like dating like high school, just being like, yeah, I'm about to drop this EP, it's gonna be sick, like hitting up Photoshop with like mad album artwork, and then like, I mean, finally it just like it started like kind of with like Mattress, and then it like evolved when I ran into Parker again, you know.
And you were also writing some like really dope poetry, like Diary of like a Young Black Boy, like
Diary of a Mad Black Wimpy Kid.
Yeah.
So after your guys' chance encounter, when did you circle back to start putting the project together?
Literally, like it's like
tell them about East New York and our mattress. Literally, yeah, full circle.
Not related to the band, just a mattress.
No, yeah, no, just, it's great. It's synchronicity here.
Solo mattress. Like when I went back, like. It was, like, me and Siobhan living in the same room on the same mattress, and then, like, she moved out, and then, like, probably, like, 2 weeks later, I was just, like, I gotta dip, you know, like, I gotta make music, and then, like, I was, like, with the mindset of, like, being, like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna go to, like, Atlanta, start making music, because, like, that's where Parker was, and then, all of a sudden, like, I ran to Parker at, like, a show in Richmond, and he was, like, oh, I just moved back here, so, like... I'm ready. And I was like, oh shit. Like,
what's the difference between making music in these different scenes, like Virginia versus Atlanta versus New York versus Vermont?
Well, Vermont, there's no music. there's no music scene in Vermont, but like,
The thing about a lot of these music scenes is always reactionary. So that if there's nothing to react against, there's nothing going on.
True.
So like for like Richmond, for example, it's kind of 50-50 with things happening versus like what you can do. Whereas like New York. It's like 100% you can do it, like, anything you want. There's just so much shit going on.
So you got a little bit about New York. Yeah.
Yeah. Why don't we hear a track?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. First rave performance.
Yeah. First podcast performance. Wait, doing it live.
Are you performing live or is this pre-recorded?
Nah, it's live.
Oh, wow. All right. Yeah. Let's see this.
All right. So False Prophet live on Snacky Tunes.
Yo.
I'm insane.
I'm that nigga, yo. I know Civil War gun holder. I'm that nigga, yo. Like, I'm that nigga. All black, Wesley Snipes. I'm that nigga. Gun me down like Wesley. Fuck. All I wanna do is be in my hootie, getting head to my music. Fuck. All I wanna do is get in my hoopty and get head to my music. Yak that speakers booming. Heaven sent, ain't no choosing, bitch. Lit up the wine, lit up the drink. Fuck your bitch, permanent. Ain't no coming down. I'm on my knees. This is my swan song. I'm on my knees. I'm your own personal Judas Priest. Ain't no coming down. I'm on my knees. I'm your own personal Judas Priest. Yeah. Niggas die today, nigga fade away. Fake ass niggas die today, nigga fade away. Fuck. I'm that nigga, you don't like. Look for me in 4 days, I'm prison just like Nazareth. Grape ain't got no name, fuck it, got a bitch. All I wanna do is get ahead to my music, riding in my hoopie. Yak that speaker's booming. Fuck. Yak that speaker's booming. All I wanna do is get head to my music. Yak that speaker's booming. Don't put me down. I was led astray. Fuck fake niggas fade away. Fade away. Fuck fake niggas. Fade. I'm that nigga, you don't like. I'm that nigga. All black Wesley Snipes. I'm that nigga. Gun me down. Gun me, nigga, you don't like.
like. I that nigga, you know, like, fuck, what? I'm that nigga you don't like. Yeah.
So how do you begin to put, like, your hardcore punk roots with rap? And, like, where do you, like, kind of bleed the two together? Do you see, like, there's, like, much of a difference between the two genres?
Yeah, like, I mean, I think, like, it's crazy because, like, hardcore kids love rap music. Like, every intermission between a hardcore band is just, like, a 3-6 Mafia forever.
True.
You know? But, like, I mean, I don't think, like, the energy that's, like, given out from, like, very, like, rap-oriented, like you know, like, 3-6 Mafia versus... It's, like, 3-6 Mafia versus, like, Death Grips, where it's, like, both people are so live that, like, the energy, like, that's... escalates and like that's given off is just like so beautiful. I don't think there's like a difference, but I think that like there's a difference in like race, sect, you know, like that's like the only difference, you know, like you don't see many like white people like at rap shows. You don't see many like black kids at hardcore shows. That's the only difference.
Yeah. And where do you feel like as you're kind of like growing this, like do you feel you fall on one side or the other? Do you think that it's like it's one and the same?
I think it's one and the same. I mean, like, I don't know, like, I mean, like, me and Boozy talk about it all the time. It's just, like, they're, like, the, like, line straight on is, like, so, the, like, narrow path in between both of these is, like, so evident. You know, it's, like, it's there. It's, like, people just need to take it.
And when you're producing the tracks, I mean, is a lot of it samples? Is any of it live? Or, like, how does the production come together?
Yeah, I mean, it's all over, like, because, you know... I have that root in, like, hardcore music and stuff like that, and playing with bands, like, I like to sample stuff, and I play drums, like, I've been drumming, so, some of it will come from drums, but, like, I don't know, there's just something about, like digital distortion that, like, I've really been trying to, like, encapsulate, and, like, I don't know, I think, like he was saying, like, there's so much middle ground that just hasn't been covered because of this, like, it's like a language barrier or something, you know what I mean? I mean, not, like, literally a language barrier, but, like, why is there not more, like, shit going on in between, you know what I mean? Like,
talk more about that. Like, what is, like, expand on that.
Well, I mean, like he was saying, like, you go to rap shows and there's, like, two white people there, and it's like, why is that? Like, you go to hardcore shows and there's just, like, predominantly, like, you know, one type of person, and it's just, like, I don't know. I just feel like people like to do what they're comfortable with,
right.
You know,
yeah.
Which is pretty lame.
It's,
you know,
it's like crazy. Like you go to like a show and you're just like, it's like rap and like hardcore come out of being like a minority,
right?
And like yet like they all of a sudden like cut off these like both of these like kind of things that they're built off of and like mostly go to like the like mainstream or like whoever is like. Encapsulate the like society that they're about or like who represents them.
Where in which you feel like both areas could like pull lessons from each other?
Well, it's kind of one and the same.
I feel like we're talking really. Politics right now. It's really weird. It's like partisan. It's like, I mean, maybe it's, you're the man that's going to bridge or the rapper war that's going to bridge together everything. You never know, you know?
So where does the concept or what is behind the concept of False Prophet?
I mean, like, I think like the concept is like, you know, like, I think, like, the prophet side is... Because, like, first I was going to rap under, like, fuck boy. And then I was like, like...
Boy with a Y or an I?
I.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like making sure. That was, like, an Instagram handle you had for a minute, like a I feel while. Like. Yeah.
But okay. Then it was, like... I mean, like, I think, like, it's, like, the prophet side is, like... There's, like, songs where, like, I'm still, like, trying to, like, push, like, an agenda or, like, talk about, like, a certain thing that's, like, politically relevant, like, relevant in my life, like... as, like, a black male, but then, like, I also have that, like, kind of, like, false side of, like, being, like, oh, like, I want to make bangers, you know, like, I want to make some, like, trap shit that
like
people
just make like, people turn up, basically.
Yeah.
I mean, that's at the root, I think, of, like, you know, like, all this music that we're pulling from is that it has that thing that makes you move, you know what I mean, like, uncontrollably, despite what's being, like, conveyed politically, I guess it's like you're still gonna move to it, you know what I mean, and I think that helps to like
beat it, like, yeah. beat it into, like...
Yeah. People just want to dance.
Yeah,
people
just want to dance. Don't give a fuck.
I just want to dance.
Just want to dance. Let's hear another... Let's get something to dance to. Let's hear another song.
Yo, yo. Yeah. If I die before I wake, if I die before I wake, my soul to take. If I die before I wake, if I die before I wake, my soul to take. If I die before I wake, if I die before I wake, my soul to take.
These niggas fake. Dave Chappelle, you come and have bait. Austin 316, nigga got big dreams. Mark up the beats, Austin 316. Nigga got big dreams, mark up the beats, Austin 316. Nigga got big dreams, mark up the beats, mark up the beats, mark up the beats. Coming in like Steph Curry. If I die before I'm famed, hope that these niggas stop faking. Hope that these niggas stop hating. Hope that these niggas stop playing. Hope that these niggas stop playing. Six niggas at my wake. Six niggas at the pearly gates. Six niggas not another yay. Six niggas not another yay. Yeah. 6666, got these niggas shaking. Got these niggas shaking. Until I'm a Laker. Mama in the front seat crying. Church bells ringing. Everybody die. Fuck what I like. Lay on my start is my black head of light. All these niggas stuck in the middle path. Got Z Nash, I'ma hit him with the pass. If I die before I wake, if I die before I wake, my soul to take. If I die before I wake, if I die before I wake, my soul to take. If I die before I wake, if I die before I wake, my soul to take. These niggas fake. Dave Chappelle, you coming out, babe. But Austin 316, nigga got big dreams. Mark up the beats, Austin 316. Nigga got big dreams. Mark up the beats, Austin 316. Nigga got big dreams. Mark up the beats, Mark up the beats, Mark up the beats. Coming in my name like Steph Curry.
Wow, yeah. Hey, hey.
Hey, Phil. He's right out
there. Hi, Phil. Phil's been smiling at us.
Phil's been smiling. Hi, buddy.
What's up, Phil?
So what's on the horizon? What are you currently working on in the False Prophet world?
Well, like, currently, I mean, like, we're just trying to, like, put out good music. I mean, like,
booking
we got...
Booking shows, though?
Yeah, booking a lot of shows. We have a...
If you get two, that's one more than Mattress.
Yeah.
No, I wanna say, though, that we were offered, like, to go this, like, on this, like, small, local, like, Vermont tour.
I believe
tour,
it.
Like,
but,
we got a... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that the Mattress thing was sweet. And now, like... I
really
mean,
learned the industry from Mattress and took some lessons with you.
It turns out there's actually a band named Mattress. We couldn't even, like, persist any longer, but that's fine.
Yeah, man.
No, like, it's Mattress Vermont. That's how you just changed
it.
Go.
Mattress VT. Trademark.
It's pretty good.
We got this show with Slug Christ coming up, which is, like, ATL-based. Working on, like, a little... We have, like, a show here... On April 10th, working on a show in Philly, April 8th for, like, a mini tour. Kind of just, like, we have, like, Mickey Blanca's and like, Chino Amobi is, like, hooking us up with, like, kind of, like, the Noise Groove. We're just, like, working on, like, collaborations, kind of, like, really, like, trying to hone in on, like, a sound, like, the sound, like, that like, will take us, like, kind of, like, put us in, like, a new line, even though it's, like, an homage to, like, a bunch of older people, it's still, like, our own unique thing.
Totally. Who did your music video? It's pretty great.
Oh, okay.
It's the home invasion one.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's just talk about it.
Shout out to Jace, dude.
Well, I want to say that your aesthetic is so strong and your visuals are so strong, and we obviously can't, like, sort of display them right now, but, like, your music videos are where it hits, you know?
I mean, like, it's, like...
For anybody who's listening, what's the name of the songs I can find on YouTube?
All right, so the name of the songs are Wesley Snipe, Evangelion, and Black Steve Nash.
Like Neon Genesis?
Yeah.
We gotta talk after this.
Okay.
Yeah. We grew up on it.
Every single thing.
Yeah.
Every single thing.
Huge. Had toys. Had the videos.
Yeah. I'm currently tracking the re-released movies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 3.3 is coming out.
3.3 is coming out. I got a bootleg of it.
I'm saying, like, every single thing, every single song that you hear is, like, I... laugh because like I have like Evangelion, Kill a Kill,
at least one fucking anime reference,
anime Ghost in the Shell.
This was absolutely meant to be.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, okay, sorry. The video.
So shout out to JD Burrow. Like Jace like kills it. You know, like it's like when it comes together, it's like it starts out like an idea that I have. Jace takes it, then like me, Jace, and Poozy like sit down and like really kind of, we all have like an art background, so we're always constantly like flexing all these, and like I mean it's just like trying, like I was looking at Slipknot videos last night and I was just like wow, like so many of our videos,
Duality.
Yeah, literally Duality is like a secret influence of like that fucking Black Steve Nash video. Like how raw can we get? Like how raw to like can we get to like make people look at it but then like also be like I don't want to watch, but it's like a click hole, you're just stuck in like a YouTube loop.
Well, we want to make sure we have time for one more song, but where can people find you, find your music, book you, get you on your second radio show?
Yeah this one was sweet, like shout out to you guys. That shit, I mean, you can find me, like, False Prophet. Prophet is spelled P-R-P-H-T.
Is that internet language?
Yeah, internet language. I mean, Bandcamp, False Prophet.
SoundCloud and all that shit.
Yeah, SoundCloud. Check out Poozy, Poozy Forever.
And where can you check out your poetry?
Well, that, I mean, I want to make this about him. He's the focal point. But
yeah,
But I do want to interject and say something. So, like, yeah. I was, like, his manager for a little while, but, like, I relinquished that title because he has one of the most, like, insatiable drives and hunger and curiosity to learn. And is like, I've handed the complete throne of self-autonomy to him, and he's just, like, doing his damn thing. And I'm, like, really proud of him because he's, like, existing between cities. And when I met him in Vermont, I mean, we're in the middle of nowhere, right? It's, like, a bunch of art kids thrown together. And he had this, like, je ne sais qual, this like aura about him where he just like kind of knew like that he'd be great, and I'm really proud of him, not to be patronizing, but I love you that he's going in this direction, because
but also she's a great poet, a beautiful soul.
I'm a published poet, I will say that. I'm coming out with my first book in 2 months through Ugly Duckling Press. It's called
yo.
Anyway, I don't want to promote myself. This isn't about me.
You got it right there. Say the name of the
what's
book
it called?
Yeah, what's it called?
There's two. There's one called Sot, and then there's one called No, It's Really Okay. And it's like short block prose. And like, anyway, I've been doing a few readings. I've been doing a lot of readings actually around. I just did one of Baby's All Right. I think Zach, my friend who owns it, is going to give me like an afternoon there to curate. So things are going pretty well in that way. Like, I've just, instead of talking about making shit, I'm actually making it, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah.
You know?
Dude, friends are the best. Creative friends are the best.
I love Warren, and I'll never forget sleeping on the mattress with no sheets in East New York watching YouTube videos.
Perfect.
That's all.
Perfect. Well, we want to give a shout out to Matt. Check out the Koreatown book. Hello to Ornella. Hello to the family on the West Coast. What are you going to take us out with?
Dude, this new track with, Young Prodigy, like 15-year-old Young Flex, dude.
Virginia Beach,
killing it, dude.
Young Flex.
Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thanks.
See you guys.
Peace. I spent 14 years in
I'm a demon. Hold you down, nigga. Hold you down, nigga. Night raid, black slave, bodies hang, bodies lay. Niggas pray, see you slave, but I ain't night. Watch me slay, but I ski mask all black. Fuck, I'm insane. Why every time I hear a shot, that's a nigga's life? Why every time I see the cop, that's a nigga's life? Suicide call, man, I'ma find you in the night. Me mother fucking cop, shit, that's a title fight. G4 with the shoddy, mama ready right. G4 with the shoddy, that's a homicide. G4 with the shoddy, in my body. This is what it sounds like. People got demon black. I think in a lie, maybe I'm one of them. I think in a lie, maybe I'm one of them. I think in a lie, maybe I'm one of them. I think in a lie, maybe I'm one of them.
action so hearty.
Ay.
Little ho fall back,
I pull up with my
posse.
Ay.
Dressed in all black,
pump
action so hearty.
Ay.
Little ho fall back, I pull up with my posse.
Ay.
Dressed in all black, I'm feeling like Marilyn Manson. Selling these bricks out of mansion. Rap game Glenn Danzig, holding your hoe for ransom.
Ay. Young black punk,
I'm feeling like I'm in rancid. They
I
like young flex, you too sick. I'm feeling like I got cancer.
Ay.
Ay. Why me pull up on my
boat?
Pull up, I have my mask on your hoe. If you got problems, your tools, they gon' blow. Blow on your breath out all over the flow.
Oh,
kicking your teeth in your head.
Yeah,
you
yeah,
what
yeah.
I said, I told you be cautious, so I'ma off it.
Ay.
Look at you, honey, you're dead.
Ay.
I don't want your hoe, she goopin'.
Ay.
I'm ballin', but I am not hoopin'. Ay. And if you got problems, I pull out that chopper and bless you away like Hadouken.
Yeah,
ay.
Wow.
Me pull up with my bros and I'm fooling like Handy Manny, I'm strapped with the Thule.
Woo!
My new chick looking like Kylie, ay. Diamonds all up in my bright lane. All these Spanish is on me, ay. Call me Coyote, no Wiley, ay. I wanna make her my wifey, ay. That would be getting too pricey, ay. Young pussy getting too hypey, ay.
Young pussy getting too hypey, ay.
I got the juice like some hypey, ay.
I got the juice like some hypey, ay.
Young pussy getting too hypey, ay. Young pussy getting too hypey, ay. I got the juice like some hypey, ay.
I got the juice like some hypey, ay.
Young pussy getting too hypey.
Demon, I think in a lie, lie, lie. I think in a lie, lie, lie. I think in a lie. Maybe I'm one of them, one of them. What? Maybe I'm one of them, one of them. Why, why? Maybe I'm one of them, one of them. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I'm one of them, one of them. Why? I think in a lie. Maybe I'm one of them, one of them.
Hell yeah.
Boom. Shout out Ethan Galeo.
Shout out, maybe getting some like female like vocals like interwoven into there, you know. I'm not talking about myself or anything.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.